Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today, one of my favorite things, new guest, brand new guest, never been on before, been chasing this person literally and figuratively for quite a while, actually. She's probably got a confused look on her face, but let's bring her on. I'll explain in a second. Let's just bring her on. Ali Sutherland, how are you going?
Hi, fine. How are you?
Good, good. Now, the reason I'm saying I've been chasing you is obviously I've been trying to get you on this podcast for about a year, I think.
Yeah.
And stuff happens. Life gets in the way. Sometimes messages get mixed, blah, blah. It's like, I can do it, I can't do it. I've been very, very busy at work at the moment, so that makes it harder and blah, blah, blah. But we found some time. So that's one part of it. But the second part of it is the last time that we were in the same place at the same time, which was Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. I think we tried 4 or 5 times to meet in person because I was trying to get you your beanie.
My beanie.
And we caught up very briefly at the front of a hotel somewhere and everyone was wearing masks as well. I remember we were all sort of still had masks on and it was like, oh, hello, hello, hello. And I could see like you, like your big eyes poking out from behind that mask and stuff. And we chit-chatted the hair and everything. And we chit-chatted for a bit and I'd had like the bag of the beanies and, you know, I give them out as I go through the day, but I don't take all of them at once because I can only fit so many in a bag.
Yeah.
And you'd ordered one. And I'm like, oh, I've run out. Don't worry. I'll get you one. I'll bring one specially for you tomorrow. And I think there's still like a day or two to go. And I just feel like the next 2 days, it was like, I'm here.
Chaos.
I just left here. Oh, I missed you by about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. So Claire sent me the beanie.
So finally it got through special delivery care of Claire Stribling, who was the last guest on this podcast, no less.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Always good to have friends on the pod. Well, I've still got, like, the London version, I've still got a couple. There are two left that haven't gone to their homes yet, but they're almost all done now.
Well, next one's in Japan. Are you going to go?
The plan is to go because it's more Australian-friendly distance time zone-wise and everything, and I've been to Japan before, so... however, there is discussions that we might go, like I'm going to probably take my partner Kat because she wants a holiday in Japan, not because she wants to go to Star Wars Celebration, and take our kids as well. Because we've talked about taking the girls to Japan on a family holiday. So hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can see you there.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I've always wanted to go to Japan. And I am hoping to go. I had just moved into this house. I had plans to go to London this year and it just didn't end up working out. So I didn't get to make it to Star Wars Celebration and I did not have FOMO until I saw like all of the regular like Twitter gang together. And then I was like, oh my God.
I was a little bit surprised just because like you've got a real affinity with the UK as well and like Scotland and stuff as well. So I was like, oh yeah, she'll be there. Surely she'll turn it into a double banger trip and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, you know, it's hard. It's especially coming from overseas. It's hard to do. It's expensive. There's a lot of reasons it's hard to pull off.
Well, and then I'm sure you have heard us Americans complain about this. For some reason, our flight tickets over that way are so much more expensive than the other way around.
Yeah, Claire said the same thing as well.
Yeah, it's like I remember when I was in Ireland, they were talking about how I think it's 1 in 7 Irish like nationals, as in someone who was born in Ireland, lives in the States. And they hop over there from Ireland. They hop over to the States like it is no big deal. Oh, I'm going to D.C. for the weekend. And you're like, what? You do that? And over here, it's a big deal. Like when I got to college, to university, I thought I was well-traveled because where I'm from, it's a big deal if you've been to Disney World once.
Yep.
And then I got there and I literally, so this, I went to UVA. I've got some UVA stuff right behind me right here. UVA is very, very old school. Let's just say that. And I'm sitting in class one day. It was my first semester, first year. And this girl looks to this other girl was like, and maybe the first week of class, and this girl says, oh, what did you do over the summer? The girl next to her, so casually, oh, my dad does some business stuff with Richard Branson, and we spent the summer on his yacht in Santorini. And I was like, oh, my God. Whole different ballgame.
I went to the beach. Laura.
Yeah. I went to Myrtle Beach, which is like, it is the also known as the Redneck Riviera, and I'm fine with that.
The only reason I know Myrtle Beach is because of Eastbound and Down. I think Danny McBride's character plays for Myrtle Beach in the minors or something. One of the series and things.
Well, you know, also Magic Mike 2, they go to Myrtle Beach.
Okay. It's quite funny. Funny thing I learned about the States is that everywhere in the States, because it's so big, has an equivalent of somewhere else there. Like we were talking about, we were talking about Brisbane because we were talking about Bluey. And I was saying, oh, you know, and it's got different names, Brizzy or Briz Vegas. And then you sort of said that there was a place in Nashville that was like the Vegas of somewhere else.
So they call like, Nashville Nash Vegas. Yeah. It's
so everywhere's
it's
got Nash a place Vegas. Which is the something of somewhere else of the area. So the something of the south or the something of the north or the west coast something something.
Yeah. Well, I live very close to Asheville, North Carolina, if you've heard of Asheville.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's where the Biltmore is, which was this giant house that the Vanderbilts built, like 175,000 square feet or something. Like,
jeez,
bonkers, nuts. And it's called the San Francisco of the South.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah. No,
We're Australia's different. We just say we're not like everywhere else. We're just like, we're not. Yeah. We're not Sydney. We're Melbourne. Don't, you know, if you want Sydney, go to Sydney. And if you want Melbourne, stay in Melbourne.
Well, I've never been to Australia, but that's another place I've always wanted to go. I don't know why I've always been fascinated with Bondi Beach.
Oh yeah, Bondi Beach is lovely. Yeah, well it's a really good beach in a city. You know, in Melbourne, where all the major cities are on the coast in Australia, so they've all got some kind of beach. I think Melbourne, because we're just cool, we do have a beach there, but it's not amazing. It's okay. And there are really good beaches like an hour each direction out of Melbourne. But Bondi has a very, very good beach right in the city. So that's sort of the hook, really.
What's that movie that Adam Driver did with, I forget what her name is, and he was a National Geographic photographer and he was following this woman who...
Oh, yeah. Walks across Australia. Yeah. I can't remember what it's... Is it called? No, it's not called Rust, like The Long Walk, The Long Way. Yeah, I know that. I've seen the film. I know the one you're talking about.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely great movie. And I'm not one of these, I will say this for people on the pod who don't know me. If you do know me, you'll know this. I am a giant Raylo, but I'm not one of the Raylos who's like, I need to see everything Adam Driver's in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that.
Have you seen the
I'm
dinosaur one?
No, but like that one, I do want to see.
I haven't
seen
it either. It's just too much stuff.
I do want to, it looks so corny, but it looks so like so enjoyable at the same time.
He's so surprising because you kind of feel like, you know, Adam Driver, he got into Star Wars off the, you know, when he was cast in Star Wars, it was like, oh, it's the guy from Girls. You know, it's that intense, tall guy from Girls. I can see that. He's a good actor, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you always kind of got the feeling that, you know, that was his dip in blockbusters in sci-fi and then he was going back to his, you know, indie roots and blah blah blah, and that's where he does his best work. But every now and then he'll just go, oh no, I'm gonna go do a movie where I fight dinosaurs. He'd be done. He would never do that again. But
well, you know, I feel like if I'm an actor and I'm going to take the role, I mean, like if I know it's not gonna be Oscar fare and I don't have anything else on the calendar, I'm probably going to take the role that's going to pay me the most money.
Yeah. It might just be the most fun as well.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been actors that have turned down Oscar fare for money roles. There was, I forget which money or what movie, which movie it was, Eddie Murphy turned down to be in one of his comedies.
Like his Nutty Professors or like one of those Oscar ones.
Yeah, it was like an Oscar winner role that he would have won an Oscar if he had done that movie. But he was like, you know, I'd rather have the money than an Oscar.
I've heard some crazy stories about it, like 90s Eddie Murphy, where he would just do a movie and the limo would like literally drive up to the spot he had to stand on the stage, and he would get out of the limo and read the line and get back in the limo, and the limo would just drive off the set. I'm like, wow. I mean, you've earned it, Eddie. You know, you're a big star. Why not? But well, the funny, you know, the news today, like just to put a, you know, timestamp on this, is that obviously all the actors have gone on strike today with, you know, with the writers and things. So that's the end of production as we know it. And then Bob Iger's come out. He's not winning himself many fans. Came out and was like, oh, we make too much Star Wars and Marvel and stuff now. We're going to stop making so much Star Wars. Are you more give me all the Star Wars and I'll enjoy the cream and just deal with the rest? Or are you more like, I want my Star Wars a bit more curated so it's a bit more cream?
So I want my Star Wars. I have talked to so many people about this. I am one of those people that, and this isn't necessarily a good thing, I'll use Harry Potter for context here, okay? Mm-hmm. I thought I wanted to know everything about Harry Potter, as in I wanted to know everything about that universe. Like, yep. I made a joke with somebody, I want to know what color sweater Molly Weasley was knitting at 9 p.m. on, you know, like, I wanted to get that kind of detail.
My daughter probably knows now. She is 8 and like Harry Potter is where it's at. She's in his Goblet of Fire, reading Goblet of Fire. That's what we're up to. And she just
That's my favorite.
You know, she's got long curly brown hair like you. So she's just like, Hermione Granger is my spirit animal. I want the cloak. I want the scarf. I want the lot. So we're in Potterland as it is.
Well, it's great stuff, but I don't think I need to know all of the detail about Molly Weasley's life now. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe because you're not also 12 anymore.
Well, no, I felt this way 3 years ago. No, and I felt this way 3 years ago in my late 20s, okay? But I think what it is I loved the Obi-Wan show. Mm-hmm. But looking back on it, I don't think we needed it. Now, granted, I am like a Star Wars sinner right now. I have not seen Andor.
Oh, my God. Right now, Catherine Neen's ears are bleeding. And she's screaming at this podcast. You're going to get messages. It was Catherine was doing a victory lap yesterday online when all the Emmy nominations came in. Yeah. So expect a message.
And I worked in politics, so I'm sure I would really enjoy it. And to be quite honest, I think that's part of the reason I have avoided it.
Yep.
Is because, and now granted, I was not dealing with like, they're going to blow up a planet. But I think that's part of the reason I have avoided it is I'm like, yeah, this hits a little too close to home.
Yep.
But if we're talking about, I would rather get, I get the idea of giving us constant Star Wars. I really understand it. But I want to see James Mangold's origin of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to go forward, because I don't know how you feel. Do you think we'll eventually get an episode 10? Because I do.
I don't. Well, I mean, we'll get the equivalent of one. Whether they actually call it episode 10, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at all if this Rey film, whatever it's going to be.
Is episode 10.
Is episode 1.
Really?
Yeah. As in, it's basically called the New Jedi Order saga or whatever, and they go, we're going back to one, and then it'll either be one of three, one of six, one of nine. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to keep Daisy Ridley in. Maybe Daisy Ridley signed a 9-picture deal and she's like, all right, I want to be dead by episode 3, but I'll do Force Ghosts for half an hour once a film for whatever. Yeah. You know, pick up some new stars. Like, potentially, like...
Well, see, I think we will have episode 10, but I think it needs to take... This is just me. Wipe the slate clean. Have this take place like 500 years after the events of the Rise of Skywalker.
But is it episode 10 anymore? Because it's episode... I mean, I know that they only started using the term the Skywalker saga. You know, when they got to episode 9, they were like, we're wrapping this bad boy up. This is what this is. Is it still episode... Yeah. Does it become episode 10 because it's just continuing Star Wars? Or is it episode 10 because it's got to keep, you've got to have some connection to Luke, Han, Leia. Well,
I mean, if it's Rey and it's not this 500 years into the future that I want it to be, I guess you don't have to call it episodes anymore, but Rey is Rey Skywalker. Mm. And that I do want to talk about a theory that I had episode 9 came out that I think could still be true. So I really, before episode 9 came out, and, you know, there were rumors going around like this was all going to end at the, on Tatooine, at the Lars homestead.
Yep.
I thought for sure it was going to be a flash forward about 10 to 15 years into the future with Rey training younglings, training Padawans. And she was explaining to them why they don't go by Jedi anymore, why they go by Skywalker. Because do you remember those Chiss that called themselves Skywalkers that were Force users in the EU? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. I haven't read the book, but I know people were talking about it. They were like the ones who did the navigation and stuff because they could like navigate through space without technology or whatever it was.
Very Dune-ish of them.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, that makes sense. You know, it's time for the Jedi to end. Like, yes.
Like,
you know, I am a... Yeah, rebrand them. They're not Jedi anymore. They're Skywalkers. And they are neither light nor dark. They are just one with the Force.
I would be more, if I was one of those younglings, I'd be more like, why do we need to train on Tatooine? Like, hottest, driest, worst planet. Can't we go somewhere nice where there's a jungle or something? Why are we out of this like, homestead in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing to do?
Why are we not? What was the... in the EU, there was like a resort planet for Imperials. Was it called Spira?
Oh, maybe. Was that old, the old EU in the books?
Yeah.
Did you read all the old books?
I didn't read all of them, but I read quite a few.
Dabbled.
I definitely dabbled. I was a big Thrawn fan. And then I really liked playing KOTOR. I wasn't any good at it, but I liked it.
Do you play the newer stuff? Do you like when the Jedi games come out?
I don't game.
You don't game? You got a life.
No.
I've got shit to do.
Well, no, no, it makes me nervous. Gaming really makes me nervous. I can't handle even like Mario Kart.
Oh, really?
it makes me so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to wreck. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like talking like that the entire time. The farthest into gaming I have gotten here recently is I have an Oculus.
Oh, okay.
So I can go and stand in Scotland.
You could just go off and get yourself some fried Mars bars or, yeah.
Yeah, or a meat pie. I literally go and plot myself in the middle of the Royal Mile and stand there and just look around. Edinburgh.
It's gorgeous. I did love Scotland. My favorite was Isle of Skye, which was... Which is very, very lovely. Had a friend of, had a house up there. So we took a big, we took an overnight bus to, we took an overnight bus to Glasgow. Was that the Glasgow or Edinburgh? I can't remember. And then we had like an 8-hour drive on top of that to get, you keep thinking, oh, the UK is so small, it's so easy to get around, but still, you can still do some miles. So you've mentioned Thrawn. Great segue. You've been doing this, it's like you've been podcasting your whole life here. The Ahsoka trailer, or the second Ahsoka trailer, just dropped. Are you excited? Were you a Rebels kid?
I love Rebels. I am so excited. I am one of those people, I think there's a few of us, maybe not many, but I think there's a few of us that prefer Rebels to the Clone Wars. And I'm one of those people. And I love what they were able to do with that. And I got chills when they released that first photo of Sabine looking at that mural.
Yeah, they had the mural at Celebration London, or I don't know if it was the actual one, but they had like that print.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Like whether it was the prop or whether it was just the, you know, it looked exactly the same or whatever it was. So yeah.
Oh. And then seeing in the trailer, Sabine cut her hair off.
Yeah.
And that explanation of that. And then I guess I always was under the impression that Sabine was training because she had the sword.
Yep.
Because she had the Darksaber. That was the only reason she was training. But now I'm like, oh, is there something else there?
Well, that was sort of the thing that most people took out of it was that, you know, she dropped that she'd been training with Ahsoka and literally she calls her master. So I don't think that means that Sabine's force sensitive. I think maybe, you know, Ahsoka's just teaching her how to kick butt, or whatever that is. Because I think there's a bit later on where she's fighting one of those, I don't know what these are, they're like Dark Jedis or whatever they are, you know, Bray mm-hmm. Stevenson and the blonde lady. You know, and she literally is mm-hmm. like, you know, you've got no power. So she's kind of going, you know, you're trying to walk and talk like a Jedi. You're throwing a lightsaber around, but ultimately you're a poser, or you're just, you know, you've learnt some moves. But that's happened. I mean, Star Wars is full of people who don't have the Force, who've been trained by Jedi, you know, taught some skills. What's what's her name? From Solo, like in all the EU stuff, saying that Darth Maul had taught her mm-hmm. how to do moves and things. I was going to say Keira Knightley. Emilia Clarke. Kira. Yeah. I was right. I was right the first time, but I got the last name wrong.
Yeah, Kira.
So it's full of all that stuff. I mean, Han was throwing a lightsaber around briefly as well. But what do you reckon? So you're feeling it on the trailer?
I am. Have you seen the leaks for the Lego sets?
I saw the ghost. Okay. And it had, what's his name, Jason Syndulla on it.
Yeah, I'm so upset that his hair's not blue.
Are you one of those people? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Why would his hair be green if his mother's face is green, though? It doesn't make any sense. Unless he was just dying it to, like, solidarity.
He doesn't look ounce Twi'lek.
There's not enough talk also, in Star Wars about your cat's outraged as well.
Yeah, my cat is running around like a banshee. So if you hear anything...
We don't really go into the consequences in Star Wars of what happens when two different species basically mate. You know, there's no kind of
We need to know,
what happens if you get a human and a hut together? Like, what kind of abomination does that like pump out?
This is the Molly Weasley knitting at 9 p.m. question that I have for Pablo Hidalgo. The next book that the story group puts out and that he edits and authorizes needs to be Star Wars Genetics.
The big book of Star Wars crossbreeding.
Yes, I need to know how everything works.
There should just be an app, like on the Star Wars app, where you can go like put in, you know, Twi'lek and put in, like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of like another.
Jawa.
Yeah, Jawa. Put in Twi'lek with Jawa and equals, and then you get like, show me what it looks like, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, is everybody cross-compatible with everybody? Is it, or no? Is it like, because there are like, in the comics anyway, there are like other species couples. Like, there are just like, you know, and there's a lot of like humanoid-y ones, but there are cable where it's just like, oh, it doesn't even look like that you're even remotely from the same genetic pool here. And how does it work?
No. Well, we just saw it with The Mandalorian, with that one episode where that the pirate. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, you're right. Episode
with Lizzo and Jack Black. Yeah,
yeah.
we saw it there, at the beginning of the episode.
How does Jack Black and Lizzo breed? It doesn't make any sense. They're so
No, not them. No, but it was at the beginning of their episode.
Yeah, no, it was the Mon Cal and the. Was it a Quarren or was it something else? It wasn't as... Because that's like real Montagues and Capulets, Quarren and Mon Cals, because they all hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Also, Lizzo and Jack Black would have extremely musically gifted babies.
They would. It would be a bit much, I think, their children. Like, they're already pretty... Oh. They're always on. Could you imagine what their child would be like?
Oh, my God.
It's all like, rig-a-goo-goo the whole time. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I want that. I actually want that child to happen. So I'm just putting it out there.
Lizzo's in Melbourne next week. Maybe we can get her on the podcast and ask her.
Yeah. Oh, honestly,
yeah.
She apparently loves Star Wars that much. If you like messaged her people, there might be
there
some
there you go.
Small...
Well, I should ask her. My partner Kat's going to the concert next week. So
Lizzo,
come on over.
Yeah. She was in Knoxville, and that's the concert where she brought all the drag queens out on stage. It was a really big deal.
Nice. Good fight, Lizzo. But,
yeah. So, Pablo, if you're listening,
the illustrated guide to Star Wars crossbreeding and genetics.
Yes.
Introduction from Ali Sutherland.
Yeah. I am very interested in Star Wars genetics because I want to know how Jason Syndulla...
I want to know, is his hair green? Is his hair naturally green? Has he dyed it? Has it just faded out? Has it just gone brown as he's gotten older? Because, like, sometimes, like, my sister had, like, black hair when she was little, and then she became blonde later. Like, that happens. Like, it's a thing.
But here's the hill I'm going to die on, okay? Why couldn't he have had the dark skin tone like Kanan, but had Leku like his mother?
Do you think that if, like, Kanan had been alive when Jason was born,
mm-hmm.
and he came out not looking like either of them, he would have been suspicious? Like, luckily she didn't have to have an awkward conversation. Like, there might have, you know, like, if we he's like, that's a bit weird.
What happened here?
Yeah.
Whose child is this?
Is this Kanan? Is this Ezra's child? Or is it?
Hera would never.
Yeah. And there's no that Zeb in the trailer either, which is a bit weird, I thought.
Yeah, you've already seen
him. Like, what are you holding back for?
I thought we would see that, and then I expected a whole lot of clone action too. But I guess that's probably something they're saving for us.
So you're talking clone as in cloning people, or clone as in the clones?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's just like footage from the first couple of episodes?
Oh, like, yeah. I don't think they want to. The only thing that scares me about this show, and it's the thing that we will love, is, but outside, like, average audiences will hate. I am so scared this is going to be so inside baseball.
It does feel really inside baseball, doesn't it? Like, even, I mean, I know that they've obviously put Ahsoka in The Mandalorian for this very specific reason. But I feel like it would be a tougher sell. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, Andor, I mean, I guess you had the movie to establish that. You're kind of going, hey, this is a new show. It's got characters who are pretty much all from a cartoon. Now that's in real life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. If it's good, it's good. I'm not too sure. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the last season of The Mandalorian. I thought it was a bit all over the shop, but
yeah.
I feel like this one's going to be pretty good. And whether it's to the detriment or the best, I think that Filoni's got his fingers all over it so tightly, I think is better, because he's just in control of the whole thing. Yeah. So it kind of lives and dies on him, and it's his baby.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's his, not only is the show his baby, that character, Ahsoka, is his baby.
Mm.
And I get why he is so protective of her, because she is an awesome character. But, you know, again, it's one of those things. My dad, huge Star Wars fan. I talk about this fairly frequently. You know, I think he saw the original Star Wars. He was 17 years old the summer it came out. And I think he saw it in theaters somewhere around 20 times that summer. And he said he couldn't wait to get back to school for his senior year of high school so he could talk to everybody about Star Wars.
What a world. Could you imagine living in a world where there's just some movie coming out called Star Wars?
And yeah.
Like, that just, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to have gone to Return of the Jedi in the cinema. But Star Wars had already existed by then, and I had gotten Star Wars fever by then, you know, because I was four or five or whatever, and it just seeped in. But this whole world where all of a sudden it wasn't there, and then it's just there, and you go, and you're like, wow.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say that is, huge Star Wars fan, has seen every movie on opening night, all that. The Mandalorian comes out. And he's like, now who, or season two, and Ahsoka shows up, okay? And he's like, now who's that girl? Why does she matter? Because I'm freaking out episode five, season two. I'm like, oh my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, now who's that? And the same thing, he's gotten more into it now because he's had to with, like, you know, Bo-Katan and figuring out who Bo-Katan is and all that. But I'd say that your average fan, you know, saw Ahsoka. It was smart of them to put her in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
For this reason. But saw Ahsoka and was kind of like, huh? Who? What?
Yeah. Probably also went, does she need it, her own show? Are we crying out? You know what I mean? Like, as a casual viewer, I'm like, well, is she any more in deserving of her own show than, I don't know, someone else like Polly, you know, the lady who runs the garage, or, you know, yeah. somebody, oh, some other secondary, secondary character or whatever. Like, it just seems like she's just, so yeah, it's a slightly tougher sell.
Yeah. I think it is a tougher sell. And, you know, while you and I and other people like us are going to, you know, freak out over all the inside baseball stuff, like, you know, when they said Heir to the Empire in that first trailer, we're like, oh my God! Heir to the Empire!
I remember that book. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I've said this on the pod, you know, because they're saying, you know, Dave Filoni is doing a movie to wrap up this Mandoverse. And I've said on this, they will, I have no doubt in my mind it will be called Heir to the Empire. Like, they will just,
oh yeah,
on Front Street, and they'll be like, that's the movie, Heir to the Empire.
Yeah, it will be Heir to the Empire. And, but, you know, the thing that I do like about this universe that they are setting up is I think that it is tying together all three trilogies in a way that the sequel trilogy wanted to, but couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they reference back to stuff that happened in the prequel trilogy, you know, all the time. You see it, obviously, with the Clone Wars. And then, you know, even just little stuff like Mando saying wizard, you know. I mean, not that anybody else, you know, is going to catch that, but it's important to us fans. So, you know, they're going, you know, that Dr. Pershing has that Kamino
patch on the arm.
So
yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, oh, that's a callback to the prequels. And then obviously all of this is heavily rooted in the original trilogy because of when it is taking place, what it's taking place after.
Yep.
And then we're seeing the rise, you know, the fall of the Empire with the rise of the First Order, you know, with in that last episode of The Mandalorian with Hux's dad. And if you've read that Phasma book, you know what happens to him. And it's just, it's very neat to see all of these pieces coming together.
And you've just got the room to, you know, you've got a longer format, so you've essentially got you know, 8 or 9 hours as opposed to 2 hours to tie stuff. And also you've got technology which allows you to do that, which you've never had before. You're like, hey, if we want to stick Luke Skywalker in, we can now.
Yeah,
and it doesn't look,
can do it.
It looks reasonably good, you know, depending on. So were you I mean, you said your dad was a big Star Wars fan. Were you a prequel kid? Is that like, even though I'm sure you got showed the movies when you're younger, but that was like your jam?
Yeah, so my dad said that my first interaction with Star Wars, where it wasn't, so my grandmother collected dolls and whatnot, so she had all of the 1977 action figures.
Oh, she didn't have like a creepy room in her house full of dolls.
No, I have the creepy Star Wars room.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
I just worried, like, you go to your grandpa's house to sleep over and there'd just be a whole wall of dolls just staring at you.
No, I have the creepy Star Wars room, but she had all these Star Wars action figures that she for some reason had bought and collected. And she was of the belief, and I mean, thank God, I know they've lost monetary value because of this, but for me, they have all the value in the world because I played with them.
Yeah, she didn't just put them in a chest thing and put them in the attic.
Yeah, so I played with them. And I think at one point they had announced, they announced that they were doing episode 1, I think I was 4 when they announced that they were going to, you know, go into production on episode 1. And I my dad said something about it, and I guess on the way home from Myrtle Beach one year, the 7-hour car ride home, he like went into detail. My mom said it was the, because my mom hates Star Wars, said it was this just exhausting conversation that I ate every word up. My dad like goes into the story of Star Wars with me and how it was made.
It's
and,
like, finally,
you know,
someone will listen to me and be excited by this.
Yeah. So then episode 1 comes out, and I guess I threw a fit because he insisted on seeing it first without me to see if it would be appropriate for me to watch.
Yep.
I was it was 1999, so I would have been 7.
Yep.
And I guess I threw a fit. I did get to see it. I fell in love with Queen Amidala. I had to be Padme with the big headpiece in the red dress for Halloween.
That's awesome.
I had all the Padme dolls. I had like Padme mugs and, you know, a Padme lunchbox and all that. And it continued. And then into high school, the last of the prequel trilogy came out, what was it, 2000? They came out 3 years apart.
2005.
Yeah. Yep. So I was in middle school by the time that the last one came out. And it was I was still liking Star Wars, but it wasn't as cool to like Star Wars. So then by the time I got to high school, I was like, you know what? I need to shut up about this or people are going to kick my ass.
Oh, man.
So I still was a fan, but I didn't talk about it.
Yep.
But then I got to college, and UVA is extremely nerdy. Like, that's the thing about UVA. Everybody's had to try really hard in school for the most part in order to get there. So everybody was a big nerd. And I could talk about Star Wars, and no one was like, oh, that's so weird. You like that? And I could talk about it. Like, I had this comic book skirt that I'd wear to frat parties, and guys were always like, oh, is that Wolverine on your ass? I'm like, yes. I was finally able to talk about it to people. And there was one fraternity that I went to a lot of parties at, and I was friends with the president of the fraternity, and I called him Supreme Chancellor so often to the point that other brothers in the fraternity were calling him Supreme Chancellor. And it was suddenly cool to be a nerd. So that was like a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And I was able to be open about how much I loved Star Wars. And then they announced in 2012, so I think it was it summer of 2012 or fall of 2012?
I remember where I was. I was working in London when they announced it.
Yeah.
And I remember I remember being at like my desk and like getting messages and going like, Disney's bought Star Wars. They're making more Star Wars. Because I was, I just assumed it was done. You know, like they'd sort of, they'd done the movies and they'd finished it and they were sort of doing Clone Wars. And I thought, well, that's just the end of that. Like, I know that they'll make cartoons and shit probably from however long, but that'll be it. They won't really do anything else. And then it was sort of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So it comes back, and it came back at such a good time in my life, because that movie came out in 2015 and I graduated from college in 2014, and I didn't want to move to DC like everybody else that I graduated with had. I wanted to be down here in the southwestern part of Virginia, East Tennessee. I could not find a job. And when I tell you I was depressed, I mean, I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, do you remember Collider Jedi Council?
Is it like a YouTube thing or a?
It was a YouTube show.
Yep.
And I found Collider Jedi Council, and I would get excited for when those new episodes were coming out because, oh, it's other people who really like Star Wars and I can listen to them. Yep. And I really credit that. I credit that show. So it was Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and Ken Knapsack. I really credit that show for not like saving me, but it definitely helped to bring me out of a depression. And it gave me this community online.
Well, sorry to interrupt. I was just thinking, that was the, you know, like you said, not, you know, obviously 82, you know, it's just what you're playing your Star Wars toys, whatever else. I'm the same. 99, there was a little bit of internet. Like, I was on the internet in 99 because I'd been at university. We were one of the first people to have access to the internet all the time. So there were a few Star Wars sites and things. But there was no... Mm-hmm. It was still just something that you did with your immediate group of friends. Now, by the time Force Awakens rolls around in 2015, everyone's online. Social media, content creators. So it's a completely different thing. And I mean, that's huge. The reason that we're talking right now and that we know each other is off the back of that. And, you know, all of... Like, you're talking about Star Wars Tutor and the people that you know and the things that you do is all... off the back of that connection and you know, that you can, you know, be excited by content and have people that you can talk to about.
Well, and you know, I think I don't know if you know this or not. I don't talk about it as much as I used to. I wrote my thesis in grad school on that.
I did. You put something about that quite recently, and I didn't know it until I read it, and I was going, and maybe that's even why I was like, I've got to get you on the podcast, not to just recite your thesis, just because it's kind of interesting.
No, but I mean, it's the truth, though. You know, you're talking about the internet and the dawn of the internet and what it was able to do, and I'm telling you about my dad couldn't wait to get back to school so he could talk to Star Wars to people. Now, because of the internet, you don't have to wait to get back to school. You don't even have to wait until the next day to talk about this. You can whip your phone out, which, by the way, I have this cute little Barbie
cell phone. You're getting ready for Barbie.
So excited about Barbie. But you can just get on the internet and put your feelings out there.
Mm.
So my thesis, it honestly, while the pandemic absolutely sucked, COVID was a nightmare. You know, the lives that it took, it sucked. The amount of data it has given us about how humans interact and how humans display their mental health online. Whoa. Because I was able to write an 88 page thesis on how people I literally could watch without interviewing them. I didn't have to interview a soul.
Yep.
How I could watch people's mental health deteriorate online over the death of Kylo Ren. I talked about how, you know, these people, like, you know, we're in Star Wars Twitter. We've got that. But there's obviously sub communities.
Yeah.
I think you'd agree. There's sub communities within Star Wars Twitter. And there's definitely a strong Reylo community. And the people that were talking in February, 2 months after the movie had come out, about, oh, I'm so depressed still because Ben is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it, on the surface, you're like, dude, that's a fictional character.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. But
it's just become the chariot that you direct your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the psychological stuff behind that, there's been quite a bit of research done on fan fiction and the impact of fan fiction on pop culture. And I forget what the woman's name was, but she literally wrote a book on fan fiction and its impact. And I read quite a bit of her book to do my thesis. And she talked about
a psychology thesis. Was it a psych that you did
specifically? No, it was, it was a communications thesis. Mm-hmm. But there's a communications theory called parasocial breakup anxiety, and it's a offshoot of a parasocial relationship theory. And parasocial relationship theory is like, you know, the person on the news,
yep,
but they don't know you.
Yeah.
So since you see them every day, you subconsciously have a relationship with them.
Yep.
They don't have a relationship with you, though. So, like, they could be tap dancing naked on the hood of your car and you'd know exactly who they are.
Yep.
But you could be tap dancing naked on the hood of their car and they'd be like, who's this guy?
That's a lot of that. I see a lot of that now. I mean, just because it's Taylor Swift is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's riding the wave of her, you know, her ups and downs, her lyrics, her songs, her relationships, and, you know, what she's doing, all that kind of stuff like that. But it's only because, you know, she's so popular and that people, you know, message about it all the time. People like riding that. Okay. Just in regards to Ben Solo, I just assumed that he would die. He'd just do his Star Wars redeem and die. Like, was that a surprise in the Reylo community? Did they think he was going to get out and...
Oh, it was a huge surprise. These people, I mean, like...
these people.
I knew, like, I'm a Reylo, but I knew, I'm like, if we're following the trajectory...
the tropes,
Yeah, the tropes. He's going to die. That's just how it goes. But they were, and I get the excuses. They were legitimate. Oh, well, they've always killed the bad, you know, they've always killed the antagonist, but he's not a real antagonist. He's an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to kill him off. He's going to come to the light side, but they're not going to kill him off. They're not going to kill off Adam Driver. They want to keep him on for as long as they can.
Yeah, yeah. And then it becomes an economic discussion. It's just like, he's worth too much to kill.
Yeah. And but they didn't do that. I do think that we might see some worlds between worlds stuff in the Rey-centric movie.
Well, I think this Ahsoka one, just to like circle back to Ahsoka, like the even in that trailer, like in the branding, you know, because I got a design background, so my brain always goes to like brand, you know, and so in the branding and the logos and stuff, it's like got the logo and there are all these like little circles within circles and there's little like, you know, and then in this trailer, there's like a bit where Rey Stevenson and the other bad Jedi girl are on a, you know, they're doing some kind of ritual and this thing pops up, which got the circles and it's got the, and I'm just going, oh, they're literally going to do some kind of world between world time travel. Let's kind of reverse the past. It's sort of, have you seen the last Indiana Jones movie?
Yes, I have.
So literally like that, where it's like, well, I'm going to go back. Sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen it, but go see Indiana Jones. Where it's great. The antagonist, the ex-Nazi, is like, well, I'm going to use this device to go back in time to basically fix and, you know, so we win the war.
I can be a better Hitler.
Yeah, I can be better Hitler. I can be new and improved Hitler.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, he had, yeah, I was all for what he was about, but he was pretty bad. He was just not a very good organizer of people or whatever. He got too stuck and he's up his own ass. So I think that that's actually what they're going to dabble with, which, again, if you start bringing that those sort of stuff into the forefront of Star Wars, it's one thing to dabble in a cartoon, and even that was a tough sell for some people. Like, oh, Ahsoka had that... What was it? She was in like a chamber and the whole chamber fell on top of her and we thought she was dead, but it turns out she got pulled through a magic portal and she was okay. You start doing that in Star Wars, you start getting a little bit wacky, multiversey, time travel-y, all of a sudden Michael Keaton's Batman again kind of stuff.
George Clooney's Batman again.
Yeah, like you, sometimes you open a, like it's literally like a Pandora's box. You open a door to that kind of stuff and you can't go back. And you know, Star Wars is still a continual timeline. There's only one version of events of stuff, for better or worse. And, you know, they're not amazing at keeping people killed, but, you know, some people stay there. If all of a sudden they start, like if they go to that portal and they pull Natalie Portman out of that portal.
Oh,
Are you all for that? Are you like, no, dog. Like, even though I've got all the Padme headdresses and the mugs and the...
I don't want it. I don't need it. But I, you know, I did wonder, you know, Adam Driver was rumored to be the studio pick to play Reed Richards in the new Fantastic Four. And I think he would have made an excellent Reed Richards. I think he has got just the right amount of asshole.
A little salty,
to be Reed Richards. And then they're like, oh, he's not doing it because they're not offering him enough money. I don't think it's the money for that man. I really don't. If you think about what they would be filming at the same time as they would be filming Fantastic Four, I think that's all you need to know.
Yeah, God, that's a long... I think you've been spending too long on the forums. I don't know. It's possible. It's possible.
I haven't been on Reddit. That's my speculation. Yeah. That's my canon.
Anything's possible. And that's that thing. If they start doing wackadoo... world between world stuff. Yeah, I think they got to be really careful with that. All of a sudden it's going like, we're going to bring back Anakin Skywalker. We're going to stop Anakin turning to the dark side. Like if you start doing, like if it starts going down that path, I mean, it just starts feeling like, I guess it's fan fiction. I don't want to use fan fiction as a term of derision. Like I don't want to use that as a way to describe something because it's all fan fiction. If it's not written by George Lucas, it's all fan fiction anyway. Dave Filoni is the ultimate fan fictioner.
Well, but even if you want to get to it, you know, they call, I forget what they call fan fiction when they blend two properties together. That has a term.
Captain Kirk and Darth Vader go on adventures together.
Yeah, they have a technical term for that, what that's called. But if you really want to get down to it, I don't think everything's derivative at some point. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was not derivative was Earth coming into creation. Everything else since then has been derivative. Everything is derivative. So if you want to get down to it, you could say that the original Star Wars movie is Flash Gordon and Dune fan fiction.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to it, you could say that. So, fan fiction is legitimate. I mean, there's been so many works here recently that have originally been fan fiction. Reylo fan fiction has recently been published. And, you know, you can go to, you know, for you, I think it would be Kmart. Kmart's a thing in Australia, right?
Yeah, Kmart. Yep.
You can go to Kmart. You can go to Walmart here. I don't know. I guess you'd have to go to, I don't know why I'm forgetting, Penny's maybe, the UK equivalent, Primark. You could go and find this book. It's called Love Hypothesis. It's by a girl, or a woman, named Allie Hazelwood, and she spells her Allie the same way I do. And she wrote fan fiction called Love Hypothesis that was Rey and Kylo fan fiction. It had all these Star Wars characters. It took place in modern day Earth. And it was, somebody came across it on Archive of Our Own and said, hey, this is really good work. This is publishable work. If you change the names of these characters, you could publish this and you could make good money for it. And I'm pretty sure that the film rights for that book have been sold.
Wasn't Twilight fan fiction?
Yeah, or Twilight was not fan fiction. Fifty Shades of Grey was Twilight.
Okay, I knew there was something was a fiction of a something.
Yeah. So fan fiction has a legitimate place. It's just, you know, you're talking about that worlds between worlds thing. That is where I feel like the world between worlds can get fan fiction-y, because the existence of fan fiction makes it very difficult for people to separate canon from fan-made works. In my thesis, I was basically able to determine that people that were so grieved by Kylo Ren's death, they had read so much fan fiction that they had internalized it to the point that they were interacting more with the fan community and with fan fiction than they were with the actual canon material.
Yeah.
And the version of Kylo Ren that they had in their heads was nothing like the movie version. Yeah. He was just this big soft teddy bear that was just misunderstood. Just
dad didn't get enough hugs from his, you know, dad.
Yeah, which I think really might be true in some way, but if you read the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book series by Charles Soule.
Yep.
But how many people read the comic books? You know, like maybe
I've read
one
bits
in the
of those, but yeah, he's an interesting one, Kylo. I don't know. I think he's cooked. But again, Force Ghost him. I mean, like you said, no one's ever really gone in Star Wars. But
I don't think he's gone for good. I think if he does show back up, I think the minimal of what he'll do is as a Force Ghost.
Yeah, and again, this takes us right back to the start. Like, if he's going to do the dinosaur movie, it's not like all of a sudden Adam Driver's got such impossibly high standards that he wouldn't. You know, he always spoke highly of being in Star Wars. It's not like he turned around and went. You know, like even, you know, Harrison, everyone sort of joked for years that Harrison Ford, you know, didn't want to talk about Star Wars. He came back. Like, everybody came back. Like, pretty much everyone's come back. I mean, again, circling back to Natalie Portman, she's the only one who probably hasn't come back just because almost impossible to find a way to bring her back that makes sense.
You couldn't do it. I think too that the only reason Adam Driver wouldn't come back is because of the threats, and I mean they were serious, the threats that were made toward his family when he was doing those movies. There were Raylos who I don't really think belong in the community at all and really need to have their heads checked out, that were, you know, they knew where he lived. They would monitor when he had windows up in his apartment in Brooklyn. They knew, you know, he's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
They were monitoring his sister-in-law's Instagram accounts. Oh my God. I mean, just nutty stuff. Absolutely nutty stuff. And I think that would be the only reason he wouldn't come back, because I don't think he had had, and I don't think Daisy Ridley obviously had people who were probably making threats toward her because they hated Rey. But I don't think that Daisy Ridley had fans, or I mean, I'm sure there was one or two, but I don't think there were any fans that were like stalking her because they were so obsessed with her. Whereas Adam Driver, it was like, leave your wife for me, Adam Driver, you know?
It's like, no.
Yeah, like, no, I have a child, you know?
Did you, Like when you've been at celebrations, do they? I mean, you know, celebrations huge, and there's so many stuff going all the time. Is there like a Raylo meetup? Do they do like a Raylo? I'm sure there's probably. I went to a Ray panel. Molly Damon and I think Laura from Force Toast was on it as well. And there was a few, you know, friendly faces, and that was really good. But that wasn't like a Raylo panel. It was just like a Ray panel. Is there like a secret like room that all the Raylos get together at celebration?
You know, I'm sure that there is, but I am so, even though I am a Raylo, I got blocked by so many of those, those people.
Were you not too crazy or not crazy enough? Or you just trying to...
No, it was, I got to a point, we're in the middle of the pandemic, or not the middle, we're at the beginning of the pandemic, okay? And I'm writing this thesis, and I'm kind of live tweeting while I'm writing my thesis, and I'm putting out all these, I'm like, so... All of you who are like becoming, no joke, there were people who admitted to becoming alcoholics, not because of the pandemic, but because Ben died. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got the tweets. They're in the thesis. therapist called me to make sure I didn't drink. But I got to a point where I was being very blunt on Twitter. I'm like, some of you are way too attached to this character. You have subconsciously replaced a partner with mm-hmm. this fictional character. And now that he is dead, your brain can't differentiate a real person from a fictional character. So you all are convinced that a real person has died. You consciously know that a real person hasn't died, but subconsciously you can't differentiate that. And that's a real thing that happens when TV shows end. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's just how the world works. And especially when we were also isolated in our homes, it was easy to become that.
So you dropped too many truth bombs.
People got so offended.
So you look like if you're looking that you're studying, they might be like, well, you're making fun of us or mocking us or, you know, cataloging us.
Yeah, no. And meanwhile, and I put in there, like, I put a picture of me in my Padme Amidala costume at 7 years old. I put that.
Like,
in
hey man, I'm legit. I'm not just some person who's coming in to
my
like
thesis.
Look at me through the glass and
And I said I think I ended my thesis with, you know, rebellions are built on hope, and I said throughout the, you know, any time where I could write from my perspective, I am a fan. I liked this character.
Yeah, I'm not turning my nose up at these, looking down on these weirdos.
Yeah, I'm not looking down on you. I'm trying to understand the fan brain because, you know, and to get really deep, the thing that inspired my thesis the most was the fact, and I've talked about this openly, that I had a stalker.
Mm.
Due to Star Wars. He traveled across the ocean to find me twice. He did not like my Star Wars opinions. He found them, I guess he was a real original trilogy guy.
Yeah, right.
I've never been in the same room as him. And he was arrested by the Knox County police, spent 4 nights in jail in Knox County, and was told to get on a plane. He could either stay and await trial or get on a plane and go home. Jeez. And I was really inspired by that. You know, what drives a person to act that way over a fictional character? So that evolved into how people reacted to the death of Ben Solo.
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament to the storytelling of Star Wars, because you don't see people get this attached to MCU characters. You just don't.
Well, there is no, like, it just depends what pulls you weight in, I guess. But it's like you said, it's the obsessional behavior and also that online thing and, you know, detachment from reality, where you focus your energies and having that constant, like, access to opinions and either reinforcement or arguments one way or the other that can sort of like, you know, set you off. But I mean, that's the thing, like you're dealing with real life problems and scary real life problems. And somebody's going like, well, I'm losing my mind because Ben Solo, you know, died in a movie. Is like a Force Ghost an acceptable return, or does it depend on the person? Or is it just like, unless they completely remake that movie, it doesn't,
I think it depends on the person. I think that there will be people for whom a Force Ghost is great. There will be people for whom a Force ghost is not enough. There will be people for whom where, I mean, like, he could return and be, you know, healthy as a horse and, you know, be training Jedi with Rey, and that would still not be enough.
It's amazing. Like, it's amazing. I mean, it's impossible to it's impossible to please everybody. And the funny, you know, the funny thing is, I know we're wrapping up here, like, you know, Rise of Skywalker had such a, you know, troubled production. They basically threw out the draft. They threw out the director. They got J.J. Abrams back. They were on this really tight schedule. And, you know, they knocked together what they could in the time that they had. And just the consequences of doing that, you know what I mean? Just like they've gone, you know, they're just sitting in a room going, well, I guess we've got to kill Ben Solo because it doesn't make any sense. He's got to pay for what he's done and blah, blah, blah. And you've got to have that protagonist and do this. And like, they brought the Emperor back, which whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they've just gone, in order to get going on this production, we're going to have to make these calls. And yep, is everybody cool with that? Is everybody fine with that in the room? Yep. Okay, move on. All right. That's what's happening. And then you get these like knock-on effects that are still like reverberating, which is crazy.
We're always going to wonder what happened to Matt Smith, you know?
Yeah, you know, Matt Smith is sitting there, sitting by the phone, getting ready to get on the plane. It doesn't happen. He's, you know, adjusting his bow tie. you get that reference. Thanks so much for coming. I can't believe you're not on more podcasts. How many? Is this the first podcast? You must have done this podcast.
I did a Blue Milk podcast years ago, and that's been it. I'm obviously friends with a ton of podcasters. I make jokes that no one wants to deal with my accent on a podcast because no one will be able to understand it.
Oh, come on. It's very easy to understand. So everybody get Ali on your podcast. And sometimes it's just that thing where it's like, you just don't know if you ask and you just,
happy to.
I just was like, you just seemed weird that you hadn't been on this podcast just because I usually ask all my friends and it was just, you know, looking for new people as well and getting new opinions. And like, you've got so much knowledge and you've got like proper, like smart people knowledge and stuff as well, which is even, you know, more interesting and things. So, so come back anytime when you've watched Andor, come back and we'll get your professional opinion or even Ahsoka as well.
Well, you know, the real show they need to do, I've decided. And I want to, from your listeners, I want them to tell me, DM me, you know, whatever, their opinions. The real Star Wars show that we need is the New Republic Office style show.
Just the day-to-day. But they did that at The Mandalorian. Remember they went into, like, they had Tim Meadows in the office just, you know, dealing with the... Yeah, there you go. Just need 10 episodes of that.
I need more. I need a show of that. Yeah.
All right. I'll call Kathy Kennedy, who I've got a direct line
to. Yeah, let her know.
And I said, I know you want... You're doing less Star Wars projects. We think that this is a good one. Well, if people want to comment on that, where can people find you online? Now, I've got to go, like, are you on Twitter? Are you on Threads? Are you on bloody Blue Sky?
I am on Threads.
Are you on all of the things?
I am on Threads. I'm not willing to advertise my Threads just yet.
All right. Well, let's just stick to Twitter then.
You can find me on Twitter at GlitterGeekAlley on Twitter. I am pretty much my fullest self on there. It is a locked account, so I will have to profile you.
Make sure you're cool.
And make sure you're cool. You know, once you've had a stalker, things change.
Absolutely. So, Don't worry. We don't have that many listeners. I don't think you'll have to worry. You know.
Oh, yes, you do. You have beanies, for crying out loud.
Well, I'll make sure that you, regardless whether you're at Japan or not, and hopefully you will be, I'll put you down for a beanie regardless so you can have one. I probably should have put one aside for London. But anyway, it's not that far away.
Yeah, not that far away. But it was great talking to you, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Well, hopefully we'll see you in Japan, and you'll definitely be on the podcast before then. So thanks again.
Yes. Thank you.